So then, time to start our Sports Review of the Year 2016 and say hello to our special guests who have joined me in studio, Chris Ashmore of Highland and of course of the Donegal Post and DonegalNow.com, plus Dermot Doherty of Highland and of the Donegal Democrats, and Manus Kelly, winner of the 2016 Donegal International Rally. Gentlemen, you're welcome to the studio.
Hi, Oisin.
Thank you, Oisin.
Manus, a very special welcome to you. We will, of course, be going more into depth on your year very soon in the programme, but you couldn't really have envisaged at the start of 2016 how it would all turn out for you.
No, it's been some year now, Oisin. It's been some year. From a sports point of view, from a rallying point of view, it's been unreal. Sport from a GAA point of view as well, being from Glensworthy and managing our own third team side as well through to the championship one. So it's been unreal.
And many congratulations to you and Bernie as well. Wee baby girl, the first girl in the family, Bella, born this year too. So it's been quite an eventful one.
Yeah, we had a 1-6-1 and a 1-6-2. We had a baby in January as well. Wee Conan was born the 2nd of January, and then Bella's just a month old there today. So yeah. No, it's been lovely. So it has. It's been some year now all around. Awesome. I'll tell you that.
Many congratulations, and I'm sure you all have a lovely Christmas. It's been a great year. But we'll talk more about motorsport shortly, Manus, because we're going to start with the Olympic Games, and we had four Donegal competitors out in Brazil during August, and of course the man who was managing the athletics team, Patsy McGonigal, was there in his final year as a Ireland manager going to an Olympic Games. He's been round the block, Patsy. He started back, of course, in Sydney in 2000, and we'll be hearing from him soon on the programme. Letterkenny, Sinead Jennings, Mark English, Milford's Brendan Boyce and Chloe McGee from Rafal were the four athletes from the Northwest, of course, who competed. And Chris, maybe we'll go to you first, because you attended the homecoming for Chloe McGee, and she became the first Donegal sports person to take part in three Olympic Games, which is some achievement. The actual Games didn't go the way that she wanted, but for her to be participating in her third Games and the age that she is at, she's now, I suppose, what, Donegal's most decorated Olympian. She's been there more than anybody else on a competing front.
Absolutely, Oisin, and I don't think she really gets the credit that she deserves. I mean, when you think of it, how many countries have anybody who's been in three Olympics in any sport? And I mean, we're only a small country. She's been in three Olympics. There's a very good chance she's going to be in a fourth Olympics. And yes, she went out earlier than she would have hoped, but she got a very tough draw. And there is an element of luck who you get in the draw, but she still acquitted herself very well. And there was a great homecoming in Rafal, great turnout in the local hall there, and she was back, and there was an exhibition night, and her brothers Joshua and Sam were there, and Rachel Dara, her niece, who's also very much involved in the Irish setup, she was there, and a great buzz that night, and a great turnout from the community, and she deserves all the credit that she gets.
Yeah. Tokyo 2020, she could be there with her brother in the mix, because she has said that she would be focusing on mixed after the Games, and that's very much a reality if the two of them progressing in 4 years' time.
Absolutely, and some people may not be aware that they're playing at a professional level in Germany, herself and Joshua and Sam, and every couple of weeks over in Germany playing in league matches in front of 600 or 700 people, which is something that, you know, we find hard to believe, because we don't have that level of competition there, a semi-professional and professional league.
Yeah, well, that was Chloe McGee. Let's move on to one of the Letterkenny competitors, Sinead Jennings, who finished sixth in the lightweight double sculls final with her partner Claire Lamb. It certainly was an exciting time as Letterkenny came to a standstill to watch the race. And there was a lot of hope around the time that there could possibly be a medal for Sinead Jennings, who was Donegal's first sports person to make it through to an Olympic final. But there was to be no medal, but a great achievement given her age to make it to an Olympic final along with her partner. Letterkenny, of course, also came out on huge numbers to welcome Sinead back just a week later. We'll get her reaction now from her return to Donegal.
Still in shock. I just can't believe so many people showing up, and you know, the support from the town has been unbelievable. Like, all through my 16 years of trying to get to the Olympics, the support has been there, and I never could have doubted that they would be out to support me, but it's just been absolutely phenomenal. You know, people up watching the race in Hawthorne Heights, I just, you know, I nearly wanted to be there watching it with them. You know, I just can't thank people enough.
Yeah. And it was a lifetime achievement to get to the Olympics. It was a long road for you, almost 39 years of age. Is there a full sense of achievement now and what happened at Rio and how it all finished up for you?
Oh, there definitely is. I suppose it was my dream to get to the Olympics. And then, I did worry a little bit that we'd get to the Olympics and underperform and live with that regret. But myself and Claire had a chat before it, and we decided if we could just deliver our best performance, then we'd be happy. And we really did. You know, we probably even went above our best performance. So I'm delighted with that, but it's been a long journey, but it's been, you know, I've had disappointments along the way, but overall it's been brilliant. I've met so many cool people through different sports, and you know, it's a brilliant lifestyle, and yeah, I couldn't recommend it highly enough, you know. And when it ends like this, of course, like, you know, it's very easy to say that, but I'm still buzzing. It's been brilliant,
and all the hard work paid off, even from when you were a child and a teenager, getting up at 6 in the morning to go with the Swilly Seals and then running with Letterkenny AC, and both parties are here tonight.
Yeah, it was brilliant to have Teresa out and Paddy Bond kind of representing the two clubs. You know, if I didn't start then, there's no way I'd be where I am today. You need the roots. Like, people are kind of surprised I started rowing late and had so much success, but it was the roots I'd had, you know, all the fitness I'd built up from the long hours in the pool with the Swilly Seals and the Athletics Club. Like, you know, once you have a grounding like that, you can do anything. And we're so lucky in Letterkenny that we have clubs like for children to go to, and like it shows in Rio. We had like four Olympians. We had Mark English, Chloe McGee, Brendan Boyce, and myself. Like, you know, we nearly had Philip Dagnan as well. Like, so many different sports represented, and you know, I mean, we still do really well in the Gaelic, you know, so for such a small population, it's unbelievable, really, what we are achieving.
Yeah. And what you've done now for rowing in the county, the sport's going to get a huge boost, because Letterkenny and the Donegal and Ireland's all talking about rowing at the minute. We had the O'Donovan brothers and Sinead Jennings and Claire Lamb who got the final.
Yeah, because I suppose, like, of all the sports, I'd be most passionate about rowing, and if I can increase participation in rowing, especially among women, and make a difference, like, that would mean more to me than the medal, you know, if I could have a legacy like that. And yeah, people are always, you know, when they hear rowing Donegal, or you must have had a good grounding, but there was no rowing in Donegal at all. And now it is starting to, like, there's the World Coastal Rowing Championships were in Killybegs, and it's just amazing to see that the sport developing in the country, because in the country so much, like, because I know we could be really good.
There wasn't a medal, you got to a final, but your mother Teresa said as the presentations would be made that you got your medal with your family. Oh. When you come back, and it was a lot of strain and trying to juggle everything, but I'm sure the three toddlers are glad to have you back home.
Oh, again. Yeah, like, they're definitely my medal, you know. It would have been lovely to have come back with a medal, and maybe in different conditions, if we'd had a headwind, we may have got a medal. But to come back to the three girls and to get that hug, and all three rushing to be the first in to give me the hug, it was the most amazing feeling. And you know, I think everything is just, you know, I have my family, I have been to the Olympics and performed well, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, we're going to talk about Tokyo 2020, because Katrina had said to us when the rowing final was over that there's going to be a single boat in, and it would suit you, and it's something that you were hoping for a very long time would happen. Now it's going to happen at Tokyo. So is the Olympic dream not finished yet?
I don't know. Like, they talked about it from 2001. They've always said, you know, the lightweight single will come in the next cycle, and you know, I tried different partners, and maybe people just weren't quite up to the standard, and myself and Heather Boyle did come close in 2004, but and then I was always waiting for a new partner. I did get Claire, and I suppose I've really fulfilled everything I wanted from the Olympics, but if the single was to come in, it would be so hard not to give it a go.
You're not ruling it out
know.
Then?
I'm not ruling it out, no.
Okay. Well, listen, well done again on your performance at the Olympics.
Thanks,
it was great to watch you on the television and do Donegal and Ireland so proud.
And
well
done. A huge thank you to Letterkenny, to all the clubs, to all the local businesses that have supported me along the way, to my friends at school, to all the teachers in school, and everything that has made this dream possible. I just thank you so much.
That was Sinead Jennings speaking on her return to Letterkenny after the Olympics, where of course she reached the rowing final in the lightweight double sculls. Manus, would you have much knowledge of rowing?
My knowledge of rowing wouldn't be great, Oisin, but as regards Sinead Jennings and what she has achieved, it's unreal. For you know, a young family at home, that commitment, dedication, it just says it all. I launched the Northwest there, 10K there this year, and she came all the way up and, you know, competed with her sister and Sean McFadden, two other great athletes as well, and it was just great to see them there. And no, just to see, it's amazing what she's achieved, and fair play there.
Yes, indeed. Jeremy, there was a brilliant buzz that week ahead of the final, and particularly on the day in the house, because we were down and we spent it with the family in Hawthorne Heights, and it's something you don't get to experience too often.
No, and it's not something we experience, somebody being in an Olympic final too often either. You know, Oisin, and as Manus says, you know, Sinead really is an inspiration, isn't she? It was a fantastic build-up to the whole event, and even, the, you know, the heat and the semi-final as well. And then her homecoming that you carried the audio from there, that was a great night too. There wasn't the biggest turnout in the world, but it almost made it nicer because Sinead got a chance to say hello to people. She got signing autographs, posed for photographs, and she was there with her three young daughters who were as proud of Punch as well, you know. So it was a fantastic night, and it was lovely as well that Sinead took the time to thank those who had played such an important part in her career when she was so much younger. Those, her teachers at Loretto and Letterkenny, the coaches at Swilly Seals and Letterkenny Athletic Club, and she mentioned the fact that she used to go cycling with her dad and her sisters. So it was fantastic.
And you touched on it also there, her sister Katrina as well, a good year for her. Then that we had the Donegal Marathon and Half Marathon, and the two of them involved. So, you know, a great story for Sinead.
And Katrina Olympian as well. Yeah. She was in London. So.
A great family to have two Olympians is incredible.
It is. Elsewhere on the track in Brazil, Mark English didn't reach the 800 metre final at the American Ass Stadium in Rio after getting through his first heat. He finished fifth, but it was only the top four who qualified for the final. It was sort of an up and down year for Mark, and given what happened during the months leading up to the Olympics, he was content with how his games had finished up.
Yeah, look, I mean, first Olympic Games, and I came away with a fifth place in the semi-final. Obviously, everyone wants to be in that final, but I think I missed a bit of training this year. That really, really cost me when I tried to put a race back to back, and I think that's what it was in the end today. It's just a bit of lack of fitness, but there's a lot that can be worked on there and improved on once I get a full 12 months of training behind me.
The men in front of you in that semi-final as well, it's a who's who. It couldn't have been a tougher semi-final, surely.
Yeah, everyone was calling it the semi of death, and it proved to be that. You know, our European champion and world silver medalist Adam Schattenhofer made it through, so it just shows you the depth of it. But look, I'm here, and I want to thank those that have helped me get here. It's been impossible to do without any of them to even just get here, so I want to thank those.
Too much of this year lost, do you think?
I think the 3 months that I had out of training cost me in terms of fitness, yeah. This is a team effort. Everyone needs to look at me and figure out how can we get this body running faster, and how can we get everything moving more efficiently. And it's a big team effort. I'm just out there running, but you know, the work is put in behind the scenes, and I'm looking forward to sitting down with everyone and talking about it.
Mark English there, speaking of Old Downing, when his Olympics came to an end at the end of the semi-final. He's in an up-and-down year, Chris, Mark, but you heard him speak at the end of that piece about getting his team back together, regrouping and figuring out how they can go faster, and I would say their plan and their target is already 4 years' time once again.
Absolutely, and as he mentioned there, it was his first Olympics, a huge learning curve, and he can look back and with the knowledge that had he had probably the full year of training without the injury, maybe that could have made just a little bit of difference.
Yeah, Brendan Boyce was also in action in Rio as well. The Milford man crossed the line and a highly respectable 19th place in the 50k race walk final in a time of 3:53.59, and considering the conditions that was in Rio the day of the race, Brendan was happy with his top 20 finish.
Fairly happy now. I was kind of hoping against hope that I could sneak a top 16, you know, with the conditions. I knew it was going to suit me. Seen a massive group go off early on, and I was like, no, there's not 20 people in the world who can beat me today. So, you know, I was happy to keep chasing. And I think more or less my race plan was perfect for me on the day, and top 20 is probably, you know, what I had in me.
But you knew you were climbing up all the way. I mean, you were starting around 40th.
Yeah, I was looking at the board. You know, I checked it about halfway, 25k, and I was about 35th, 36th. And I was just thinking, it's impossible for this many people to be in front of me, you know. And I was just happy to keep working for the whole race. And my hip flexors kind of blew off me at 35k, but my energy levels never went, so I was able to maintain. I think 4:50 was around my slowest k, and I was able to keep churning out the K's, and everyone just kept coming back, and I was picking people off, and it kept me motivated for the whole race. Like,
consistent pace then, yeah?
Yeah, I look back now, and I think up to, you know, the first 10K was a bit conservative, and then from 10K to about 35K, It was about 435k, and it was working with people. You know, there was chopping and changing with the group, but more or less I was in groups working with people all the way. 35k, you know, my hips came at me, and then I was just thinking about technique. You know, try if I can avoid getting carried. Now my energy's still good, you know, keep walking. And then the last 5k, you know, I just seen Garcia, we call him the train, you know, when he comes past you, I was like, just go with him now. He's, if I can stay with him with a k to go, I'd definitely beat him, because I've got the speed. He's too old to kick. So that was kind of what happened in the last k. I just tore off, and probably my fastest k of the race.
Brendan Boyce speaking after that race walk at the Rio Games. And they end up, Brendan was pleased with his performance. Jeremy Soros, and it was another big learning curve for him as well. That's now a couple of Olympics under his belt for the Milford man.
Yeah, and I think he was helped by the fact that he had been in London, Oisin, and he experienced the whole occasion there as well. He went to Rio in much more confident mood. He trained well. He's obviously full-time based in Cork. I remember speaking to him before the Olympics, long before the Olympics, and he was telling me how he was heading out to Spain for some altitude training and what have you, all part of the preparations ahead of Rio. He wasn't even going out to Rio for the opening ceremony or anything like that. This was it at all planned out. One of my memories from that race was, and just shows the intensity and the effort and commitment these guys have to put in, was the French athlete, and I wrote down his name because I was looking it up before we came on air. Johan Denez, the French athlete who had been leading that race for so long, looked to be on his way to gold medal, and then he took on well and well through the race. This was, he took on well. You could see clearly that he was in a lot of pain. Suggestions from the commentators, one trying to work out exactly what was wrong, and all of a sudden he collapsed during the race. And I mean, it's one of those standout moments for me from the Olympics, never mind that race itself. He actually ended up getting back up on his feet and struggled home, finished 6 minutes behind the leader. But you got to take your hat off to that performance. And then it just underlines, you know, how much a difficult race that is.
Yeah, certainly. So we're not forgetting as well about Aileen Reid, who competed in the triathlon, a second Olympic Games for Aileen as well. 21st in the triathlon is where she finished, and she was, of course, in London 4 years ago as well. Now we're going to the lines, and I'm joined by the athletics team manager from the Rio Games with Ireland, Patsy McGonigal, of course, a Highlands Athletics correspondent as well. Patsy, a very good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, Patsy, you've been waiting patiently on the line listening to the interviews from the action during the summer. It was, of course, your last games as Ireland manager. When you had time to reflect then and when you come back, what was your highlights from Rio 2016?
Well, I suppose the people that you have just had... Well, first of all, just to acknowledge the people that you have had on there, and, you know, five people from Donegal, when you throw in Tori Pina with connections in Donegal, I think that was something that we never, ever could have imagined many years ago. And that's a big thing, and that's just underlines for us all that, you know, to these young people in all sport, that they can achieve, that they can do it, that they can begin in Donegal and build on that progress and that support to get at home, and that they're determined enough and that they have the desire, that it is possible if they have talent as well. So that's maybe one of the big learning curves for everybody out there. And then on the bigger picture, well, people will probably say, you know, that, and always ask me this question, and you know, I kind of always, first of all, I relate back to Sonia and that night with 120,000 people in the stadium in Sydney, and, you know, her coming off the bend, and I keep telling the story, and people are fed up listening to me now and me thinking she was going to win it, and she was beat by inches. And, you know, that for me, at the beginning of an Olympic, I didn't realise you're going to go to many, many other Olympics, but, you know, that was something else. And, you know, it was a night that Cathy Freeman ran and so on, and Gabriel Selassie versus Terry Gett. So it was a massive, massive night, the best night ever possibly of athletics in the history of the sport. So it was lovely to be part of that. That was a memory. That was a massive memory. But really, really, when you scratch it again, then I've seen it's really about the people, each and every one of them, and about their journey and where they got to and how it all happened. And it's about everybody, because when you're team managing, you're managing everybody, and you're managing those who are up there, you're managing those who are trying to make finals, who are in finals, and you're also managing those who have just been knocked out and are devastated. And you know, if you're worth yourself, you've got to deal with that as well, and that's the hard part. So there's a lot of memories, good memories, bad memories. Such a journey. It was such a journey, you know. For I was involved in all of the Olympics in Sydney. I was involved in all of the Olympics in one way or another in Athens. I wasn't on deck in the stadium. I was in the training camp with them in Cyprus. So I was kind of part of it all. And you know, it was about them all. It was absolutely about them all. But that thing that Donegal people, and this is where we're at here, we're talking Donegal here, and that there are Donegal people who are capable, and we've got to believe that they're capable, and we've got to support them. We've got to support them and continue to support them. And we also got to understand that many of these people are in global sports. They're in international global sports. They're not in local sport. They're in global sport, and they have driven their lives to get into that space, and they seriously deserve to be supported.
And Patsy, you of course are involved in the athletics. That's your main. But you've also got a very close connection with other sports, and particularly athletes who headed away to the Olympic Games. Chloe McGee now, 3 games under her belt, which is a fantastic achievement for the young Raffoe girl. And you've said this previously, that Sinead Jennings has probably one of Donegal's best ever athletes produced out of the county.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Sinead, first of all, Sinead is, in my opinion, undoubtedly the best overall athlete ever out of the county. Not just one of them. She is the best overall athlete, because if you look at the range of sports that she engaged in at a global level and at a high level and at a possible Olympic Games level without being in the single boat, as she referred to in the interview, she could have been at the Olympics in triathlon, she could have been at the Olympics in cycling, and she was in the Olympics in rowing. And I think her story is unbelievable. And then the fact that Katrina made the Olympics as well, that story will be written about in time to come forever and amen. That was brilliant. Chloe McGee is just such a brilliant young girl, you know. I mean, her family are completely embedded in badminton. She got every opportunity in her family growing up to do that, and she did it. And, you know, all of her family have done it. All of them. They're all a credit to Donegal and to Raffoe badminton. And, you know, I think she'll keep going. I mean, she definitely will keep going. And, you know, I was so proud, first of all, when she came into Beijing, and she was a young girl then. And my memory of her then was just running down the stairs for some reason, because I hadn't met her previously, although we lived close by. And I just thought, isn't this great? You know, this girl, her and Philip Dagnan were in Beijing, and it was just, I loved the fact that they were there. But not Chloe is just brilliant.
Patsy, we talk about commitment, and I remember talking to you during the year about Tori Pina. And if you take into account the amount of travel, based in the States, coming over to Ireland, taking part in national championships here, there was that great day back in, I think it was it in June, when you had the most successful day ever for Donegal athletes at the National Senior Championships, and she might be in Europe for a couple of days, and she's certainly clocked up the air miles and put Ireland on the map. It's great to see somebody involved in one of the more minority track and field events.
Aye, and in a minority event that you could never really work out of Ireland, you know, the climate is such a... I mean, pole vault is such a climate-related thing. You know, you need the conditions. And she was totally loyal to Ireland. You know, she was born, obviously, in the States and grew up in an Irish situation. Her grandmother being from Derry and stuff. So, you know, she embraced it big time. And she never, ever, ever let me down. When we needed her for European Cups, it didn't suit her. She was there. She was on the ground. She flew from LA and to Turkey to everywhere. And the travel, you know, the challenge of the travel alone, with pole vault poles, remember, with pole vault poles, invariably getting lost. So, I mean, her commitment was total. And I really, really loved working with her. Just, you know, she was American born, but she was Irish in her heart, you know, so it was great, and I loved it. And, you know, her career is now, as is mine at Olympic level, is over, but I would remember her dearly.
Yeah, and just on the track athletes, Mark and Brendan inside the top 20 in the walk, Patsy, which you watch with a lot of interest, and likewise Mark English as well. He didn't make the final, but it's been a year where he had some injury in the early part of the year, and that sort of put him back in his training and his plan for the Olympics. But that's one under the belt now for Mark, and in 4 years' time in Tokyo, he'll be looking for an improvement.
Well, he'll be looking for an improvement right now, and you know, Tokyo will come. There's no doubt about it. He's off to South Africa in the next few days to train, and he's ready to rock and roll again, and he's ready to take it on again. And there's a few of them going out there to train. So, you know, Mark English, people need to understand, he's the most talented. I say this, and I've said this privately to you guys, and I've said it to everybody. He's the most talented athlete that we have ever or may ever produce. He's unbelievable. He is an athlete, and you often wonder, is your athlete going to make, is it possible for this athlete to make an Olympic final or a world final? The answer in Mark English's case is yes. If he gets there and he's got the work, if he gets, has the work done, there'll be no doubt about his attitude. Yes, the answer is yes. He is capable of making a world final. And when you get into a world final, you know, anything can happen. But the answer, because of his talent and because of, you know, his approach that he needs now to work on, as he would have learned from this great experience, I would be watching that space very, 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 very closely.
Okay, just a mention on Brendan as well, who's already back in training camp. We understand Pat says he prepares for 2017.
I thought it was interesting as we approached those days, you know, in Rio, you know, and as you said, he came in late, and they went to the Granada and to Guadix where they train, and. You know, he had a target, and I said, "So what? Why do you want out of this then? What's going on in that head of yours there?" And he was a top 16. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know if he can make top 16, but you don't say that. And you know, he was out for top 16. But, you know, I thought if he makes 2023, 24, 25, he'd be doing well, and he made 19. And, you know, I just thought, fair play to you. Fair play to you. His brother was on the sideline and his girlfriend was on the sideline, far from home. And, you know, in a lonely out sport like walking, 50K walk is a massive, massive, massive killer. And, you know, his mentality is strong. And you will be talking on Highland Radio, and hopefully we all will be for many years to come. He's a great young boy who came up in Milford Athletic Club. And, you know, and in fairness, you know, did his cross country and did his community games and did all of that. Again, back to my story, you know, if you've got the will and the desire and put the effort in, it is possible.
Okay, Patsy, just before you go, are you going to miss representing Ireland and managing teams at big championships and in particular Olympic Games?
Oh, of course, you know, of course I am, you know, of course I am. And you know, like all people, even in competitive sport, who their career is over at that level, you get your head's a bit wrecked for a bit, because I was in the zone since 1992. The first Irish team I ever managed was the juniors, which is the Irish under 20 at the World Championships in Korea. And I've been kind of in that zone, building towards everything for many. So I had to, I'm now beginning to get my head around it now. So I am only in the last couple of months. After I came back, I thought, I don't know if I can handle this or not, but yes, I'm beginning. I now find that I can handle it now.
Yeah, and it's more time to spend with the family and the grandchildren, Patsy.
Well, they wouldn't actually say that, you know, because Finn Valley to me is it's a 24-hour a day job too. So, you know, in a voluntary capacity, and it's by being my baby. So, you know, I'll probably just batter on, you know, and where life takes me, and if my health is good, I'll be around.
Listen, Patsy, thanks for taking the call today, and once again, many congratulations on everything you've done in athletics for Ireland and at Olympic Games, and helping athletes along the way. And we appreciate your contribution each and every time you're on air, and have a happy Christmas to you and the family and to everyone in Fun Valley as well, Patsy.
Thank you, Ashin, and just love doing it. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Patsy. Patsy McGonigal there joining us live this afternoon on our sports review off the year. Okay, we've got a couple of ad breaks to catch up on. Do join us for more at the other end of these.